This clip was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For more information about the UK Wine Show, you can go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, I'm here with Susie Atkins, wine writer for Delicious Magazine and the Sunday Telegraph. We're going to be talking a bit about yourself today. Okay. How did you get into wine? You know, you've obviously got a great job.
Oh, I feel like I've got the best job in the world. I mean, who wouldn't want to work with the lovely liquid that is wine? I got into it about 17, 18 years ago when I joined Wine Magazine, now called Wine and Spirit, yeah, as kind of a young reporter, really. And I knew very little about wine at that point, but I was extremely keen on wine and food, fast becoming a foodie, and rushed off and did the higher certificate, now the advanced certificate, the good old trade qualifications.
WACT.
WACT, learned very quickly, really had to go for it. And obviously, you know, when you're hired to be a wine reporter, you get to go to so many tastings and so many wine regions. It is just the best way to learn. So yeah, I was very, very lucky. So all through my 20s, I just gathered up all this knowledge.
Excellent. How's your liver holding out then?
Oh, I'm still here. For now. But if this is going out in 3 or 4 months, oh, I'm not sure.
We'll see how it goes. Okay. So you started out writing. You fell into a dream job, really, didn't you?
Yeah, well, I didn't fall into it. I was working for a business magazine for the same stable. And although I loved working for a magazine, I didn't really want the subject to be business. And I really set my sights on this wine magazine. I knew that's what I wanted to do. And sure enough, it was a dream job. And I haven't really looked back. I went freelance in 1994 because I wanted to spend some time in Australia, and I went there for 6 weeks.
Yep.
And I worked at St. Hallett's Winery and Charles Melton's Wineries, living between the two on the Krondorf Road near Tanunda in Adelaide, yep, near Adelaide, and filed back reports to Wine Magazine in the UK about how the harvest was going. And I must say, I was the worst cellar hand you've ever seen in your life. Let's just say I didn't give up the day job, and the writing continued. But yeah, that was great fun reporting from Australia. But after that, I jumped ship and became a freelance, still, yep, writing for wine, but very much working from home and starting to write for other magazines and doing a bit of broadcasting. Yep.
And did you go, which came first, Sunday Telegraph or Delicious?
Oh, Delicious. I've worked for Delicious UK ever since it launched here 3 or 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. Prior to that, I did a lot of work for Which? For the Consumers Association. Which magazine? I compiled their wine reports, still do from time to time.
Yep.
And I co-edited the Which Wine Guide for several editions, mm-hmm, in the late 90s and through to about 2004, I think.
Yeah.
So, and then Delicious Magazine, which was great to be involved with them from their start-up here in the UK. And then the Sunday Telegraph, I've just got a column about 18 months ago. So that's
all quite new.
That's new and exciting. And it was a brand new column, which is great because it's a small world and you don't really want to be treading on anyone's toes. But the Stella magazine, part of the Sunday Telegraph, is mainly aimed at women.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted, I guess they'd read my book, The Girl's Guide to Wine, which is a kind of humorous debunking pocket guide.
And I think my wife's read that, actually. I haven't read it, but my...
No, you're not allowed to read it. It's The Girl's Guide to Wine. It's very tongue-in-cheek, but they hired me to write. I guess the column is, I hope, informative and helpful, but it is, you know, written a little bit tongue-in-cheek and I hope in a kind of lively, down-to-earth way. So that's been the new project for the last 18 months.
But I noticed in Delicious recently you did a beer comparison as opposed to wine. How did that go?
Well, I mean, you know, the editor occasionally, Matthew Drennan, who's instigated all sorts of exciting new projects there since he took over, he says, let's do different drinks sometimes, Susie. Let's do beer, let's do cocktails, all sorts of newsy tips. And that's been a steep learning curve for me because I must admit, unlike some drinks writers, I had stuck very much to wine. I don't, yep, really write about spirits or beers or cocktails. So I've had to in the last year. I've gone out and I've learned and I've... Well, just as we all do, spoken to the experts, really, and yep, tried to mug up on these subjects. Fascinating, what other worlds of drinks.
Yeah, we do the odd beer tasting in our business, but
do you?
I don't know. I'm a lager drinker. I think it's about as sophisticated as I get with
beer. Well, most of us wine buffs, we like those kind of Aussie Cooper's Creek style, not Cooper's Creek, Cooper's sparkling ales, or those kind of lighter beers, don't we?
Yeah, yeah, because when you finish tasting a load of wines,
exactly,
all I want is something simple
you
and
want
refreshing.
A palate freshener.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Want to wake me up. So yeah, I've had to get into the kind of the chocolatey flavours and the big stouts and stuff, and it's just a whole other world.
Yeah,
it's interesting.
Yeah. I think the only beer of any sort of class, I think any camera people out there will laugh at me, but I quite like Badger, Golden Glory Ale, because it's got a lovely peachy nose. It reminds me of a wine almost.
So it's fruity. Absolutely. Fruity. I think the fruitier wines appeal to us wine buffs. But, yeah, one thing for me was going, I went to the Wychwood Brewery near Oxford so long ago. Absolutely. Lovely independent, sort of small to medium-sized brewery, very near where my parents live and where I grew up. So I had a very happy day there over the summer, the last summer. And I tasted through a wide range of their beers and was really tutored in that by the people there. And we did a lot of food matching. We matched the beers with food. And to taste these proper English ales with all these different, you know, Ploughman's, or one went with a fruitcake, one went with cheeses, one went with hams. It was a bit of a revelation. It was a good moment where I realised beer could be complex and fascinating too.
Yeah, so excellent.
I'll come to one of your talks on beer, I hope.
No, it's not me. Talks. I don't do beer tasting.
Okay, your colleague.
I get my Charles to do that. Mm. Okay, back to wine.
Sure.
Have you been doing much tasting or travelling around recently?
Yeah, I guess I've done a bit less travelling in the last 3 years or so, because I've got my second child now, who's 3 and a half.
Oh, excellent.
So before that, I travelled, I reckoned, about a third of my time I was on the road abroad. But I've gone back to it a bit more recently again, having been a bit quiet and just been at home writing for a bit. I'm now back. I went to Bordeaux last November. I went to Chile in March.
Yeah.
Did a good week in Chile, which was great. I hadn't been for 10 years, just to see the progress that
country's
made. Yeah,
it's changed quite a bit, hasn't it?
It had changed so much. 10 years was disgraceful. I should have gone in between. But it's gone from being 10 years ago, or be 11 years really now, a country that churned out a lot of perfectly decent, good value red and white. Suddenly I was seeing all these premium stars coming out, the higher altitude vineyard wines, the kind of super cuvées, if you like. And it was just suddenly the focus was on quality this time around. Yeah. So that was really interesting. Yeah.
And some of the new regions, particularly further south, maybe a bit cooler?
Yes, and Lleida in particular, I thought was fascinating. The Lleida region, L-E-Y-D-A, which is near the coast, a cooler climate region where they're still planting away. Way, but making really fine Chardonnays and Pinot Noirs.
Have you seen any Sevis that rival New Zealand? Because a lot of people talk about them. Whenever I go to shows, though, I can't quite get them to the same
They're
quality.
Not the same. Nothing is like New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc. I've yet to taste.
I've been looking for them as well.
I've yet to taste Sauvignon Blanc that is very similar to Marlborough Sauvignon Blanc, although I am impressed by the best South African ones, which I think taste quite grassy and green peppery, a bit more towards that green kind of stalky character. The Chileans have a lovely pure fruit character in theirs, but it's not that gooseberry that you get from New Zealand. So the best ones are good, they're as good if you like, but they're different. They are different.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah. That's what I like to hear.
I really do, at home, drink more New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc than any other style of wine. I'm trying to push those figures up single-handedly.
What sort of wines have maybe excited you in the last year?
Well, as I say, those premium Chilean styles that I had perhaps had managed to miss up till now, they were very exciting indeed. I've tasted a lot of fizz this year, and I'm newly impressed by perhaps some better value champagnes than in the past. I was a real one for moaning on about cheaper champagnes being tart and nasty. I've perhaps come round to those a bit more recently.
Is that because your palate's changed, or do you think the quality's changed?
No, the quality's changed. No, I'd like to think my palate hasn't. My palate didn't even change in pregnancy. You know, it does remain pretty consistent so far in my life. But no, I think quality's gone up. It's a bit like we've seen in Bordeaux. We've seen the cheaper Bordeaux that used to be so embarrassingly poor, to be honest, pick up a lot and start to look good. Spain remains very interesting, I think. Mm-hmm. Goodness, what excites me? Everything excites me. There's very little that I think is horrible, apart from, I have to say, in the last year, too many commercial sweet pink wines. I get sent a lot of those.
Do you?
I think they think that it's suitable for my column.
Yeah. Or your girl's book.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They think, oh, look, she's a girl. She'll like our horrible confected pink
wine. Although,
that's
it. We're at the wine show at the moment, and the Matthias guys grabbed me and said, you know, when was the last time you tried Matthias Rosen? I said, oh, probably about 20 years ago.
When I was about 16.
I did, but to be honest,
not so bad?
Not as bad as you imagine.
Okay.
You know,
good.
And I, you know, it's obviously commercial and all that sort of stuff. Not a great wine, but certainly.
Better than some.
Better than being that it's derided. It's derided pretty hard by a lot of people, but structurally.
Well, don't you think fashion and lack of fashion in wine is a terrible thing? I'm not interested in what's fashionable or what's not. Yeah. I'm interested in what tastes good. So, yeah, fine. If they've made a. I had heard they'd made a slightly drier product, actually. So
they've got a Tempranillo that's
maybe I'll go and taste it. Maybe. But can I go back to something that really excites me?
Yeah.
I live in Devon. I don't live in London. I'm one of the wine journalists that has escaped London. And I live near Exeter. And one thing over the last year that has been thrilling is Southwest English wines.
Good, aren't they?
We are suddenly doing so well. And I've been to some of the wineries and I've given tutored tastings of English wines, two or three in the last couple of months. And it's terrific. Suddenly we're doing great sparklers, great white wines, lovely kind of meadow flower aromas.
Yep.
And I'm not so keen on the reds, but, you know, the odd good red popping up. But the era of English winemaking has arrived. So
I think a lot of that is maybe due partly to Plumpton, because the English winemakers now know how to make the stuff.
They're properly trained.
Yeah, whereas before they were just like me trying to make a bottle of wine, and I'd dread to think what that would be like.
Well, this is absolutely it. It's not someone's hobby anymore. It's someone's profession, and there's a whole new generation of people making wine very seriously. But, do you think it's a threat to New Zealand then? A new cool climate winemaking country?
No, not yet. Not yet. But they did do an English versus New Zealand comparison about 6 months, a year ago.
Right.
And England did all right, obviously. You know, I'm a big supporter of English wine, so you sort of torn me between my two passions.
Well, look, I mean, fair enough. And actually, if you like New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc, you'll probably like the aromatic, dry English
white. Because it's
Exactly. Bacchus is a great, great variety. I think the problem for them is still price. There are no economies of scale in English winemaking, so you do have to pay a premium. But, you know, they're terrific. And really, the best way to taste them is to go to the wineries and, you know, go and have a snack and do a tasting actually in situ. And that's just delightful. And I will always champion the Southwest ones.
What do you reckon from the Southwest then?
Camel Valley. Camel Valley in Bodmin, Cornwall. It's terrific. It's a lovely day out. It's got a gorgeous spot for tasting, gorgeous tasting room with a balcony. You can sit and try Bob Lindo's fantastic sparklers.
Yep.
The Bacchus
is quite nice as well.
They make good still wines too. If you're in Devon, nearer to where I live, Sharpham. And they have a dairy on the premises too, which makes Sharpham Brie. That is just the most blissful way to go and have a wine tasting. But there are some smaller ones too. There's a brand new one called Kenton near Exeter. There are several more that I could recommend. But it's really worth getting in the car and having a day out at an English winery if you're in the country.
Trainspitter.
Oh, actually, yes. I'll get someone to drive you.
Yeah, your wife.
Husband.
The other half.
Exactly. Your chauffeur. But yeah, very exciting.
Excellent. All right. I think we're going to wrap it up there. Keep it quite short and sharp. But thanks very much, Susie, for your time.
It's a pleasure.
Cheers very much.